It's time for another edition of the podcast here. It's Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul from RW Paul & Associates, and we're going to talk about safe money options. Not the sexiest of topics, but then again, hey, we all want safe money, right? So we're going to have a good conversation with the guys about this week on the program. What's going on, fellas? How you doing, Steve?
I'm hanging in there. I think I'm the only healthy one here.
I know you are.
Yeah. How many times do we have to delay this recording?
That's on your brother. That's your brother's fault. What's going on, Matt? How are you, bud?
I'm better now. I'll spare everyone the details of my bug, but it was a pretty gnarly stomach bug. Lost 4 pounds. So
That's gnarly. That is gnarly. Yeah.
I made him stay away. It's like you're working from home for the week. If this gets into my household with the three kids, oh, it's over with.
It's
puke city. Yeah. Want nothing to do with that.
Yeah. So you took the safe route and said just stay away, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll use that as my
I'll run your appointments. Just stay at home.
Just stay away. Yeah. There you go. Well, we'll use that as my cheesy transition into safe money options. So Steve took the safe bet and just said, stay the hell away from me, man. I don't want your stuff. And we'll talk about keeping it safe here with money a little bit this week. So typical emergency fund, let's just start with the simple low-hanging fruit, guys. I mean, again, some of this stuff's not the sexiest of things, but it can really be useful, right? I mean, if you're going to, you know, if something happens, it's good to have that chunk sitting off there to the side, right? So let's just start with that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, so a typical emergency fund, we say while you're working, have 3 to 6 months expenses in the bank. If you're retired, bump that up, double it, make it 6 to 12 right. months expenses in the bank. So that way something pops up, you need a new car, new furnace, new roof, you've got that money readily available.
Hey, if you only have 6 to 12 expenses, that's pretty good.
I wish.
Only right, problem exactly. with that is that money is making what, maybe 0.25% if you're lucky, sitting in the bank. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you have other options, these safe money options that we'll go over today, where you can come close to or at least keep up with inflation.
Well, okay, let me ask you that, Steve, because right, you know, people say, hey, wait, banks have been doing better stuff here lately, the last, you know, 12 months or so, right? So, but you're not going to just get it in the normal safe, you know, savings account, right? You're going to have to kind of look around a little bit. They're not just offering these 4% or so on and so forth with your normal savings account, correct?
No, they're not. So you need to look at different options. And it's funny, we were talking about what we wanted to address on this podcast, and we've had multiple clients call in and go, I'm so sick of bonds. Let's just get out of bonds. Let's go into all large cap growth stocks. And it's like, uh-oh. That's a top signal right there. That's a little scary for us. So it's like, let's go over these different options. And
yeah, let me interject when it comes to top signals. So back almost 15 years ago when we got into this industry, we were coming off the biggest recession ever, 2008. Everyone remembers that. And nobody wanted stocks then. Nobody wanted to talk about stocks. And at this point, nobody's wanting bonds. So a lot of portfolios that we're seeing are safe money options. So maybe they've got CDs, maybe a higher yielding bank account. Steve had mentioned some of the normal bank accounts are still at 0.01. You look at Chase, they're still paying 0.01. So a lot of portfolios right now are your bank money, safe money, CDs, and stocks, because everybody wants the hot thing. And that's kind of a top signal for us. So if you look at this fear and greed chart, you can see a lot of people are getting greedy right now. We're going on that greed scale right now, getting up towards the top.
Yeah.
That's because people look at last year's returns too. So we're always trying to coach our clients and say, be forward looking. Don't look at last year's returns. And I know you look at the last couple of years of bonds, they performed poorly. I believe me, I completely understand that. But we talked about it on the show, two, three shows ago. We talked about the teeter totter effect that bonds have. So rates go up, bond values come down. Rates come down, bond values go up. That's interest rate risk. And we were really concerned about that a couple of years ago. Not so much now. I mean, you look at the Fed meeting that we just saw last week. They're still planning on cutting rates 3 times this year. So in a declining rate environment, bonds are going to do very well. So the last thing we want to do right now is go all in on growth stocks that have performed very well over the last couple of years and dump bonds.
Yeah, and of course, like you see on that chart that we had up there, it's easy to do. I always think about that fear and greed thing. I always think about the cartoons, right, when you had the little angel and the devil on your shoulder on the little Looney Tunes cartoons. Same kind of thing right there. So what about, you know, the CDs, you know, money in CDs? Because as I kind of mentioned a minute ago, guys, the rates are better on that last, 12, 18 months or so, you know, so people are kind of like, ooh, you know, let me go over there. What do we got going on there?
So CDs and money markets are paying in that 5% range now. Some a little bit more, some a little bit less. And that's why you can see if we throw this chart up, it's up and to the right. We're skyrocketing in terms of how much money is in these CDs and money markets. And that's all money that can eventually flow back into the market when people aren't getting paid to do it, because money moves based on what's making money. And eventually the Fed's going to bring down these rates and that money's going to go somewhere else, whether it's annuities, MIGAs, which we'll talk about in a minute, CDs maybe, or more than likely it's going to go into stocks and bonds, that world there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about like the percentage rate. Like, you know, a lot of these CDs are like 4%, maybe 5% if you're lucky, right? If you're looking around, but they're shorter term, right? So you don't want anything too long because that's the anticipation that they may cut, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So that's called reinvestment risk. So when you're doing a 1 year CD, or even if you're just keeping your funds in your money market and it's earning 5%, the fear there is 1 year from now, are you going to be able to get that same return? And more than likely the answer is going to be no, as the Fed brings down rates probably on the back half of this year.
That's why we're looking to utilize different vehicles. I mean, you look at multi-year guaranteed annuities, which is basically a CD through an insurance company. I mean, you can look at stretching them out 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. So we have a lot of clients that are looking to lock in that rate and then maybe use the interest right. that account is generating to go on vacations or some fun expenses throughout the years. But again, you're locking up that money. So it acts well as a backup bank account. I still think keep your 6 to 12 months in the bank, fully liquid, ready to go should you need it. And then if you want to keep another, let's say $100,000 or so in a safe vehicle that you know can't go down in value, then you could look at possibly doing a MIGA.
Okay, so that's what that MIGA stands for, right? Multi-year
guaranteed annuity, yeah.
Okay, and so downsides, upsides, downsides, we'll just talk about those a little bit for folks who aren't sure what those are.
The downside is just like with a CD, you're locking up your money.
Okay.
But instead of 1 year, you're talking about 3 years, maybe 5 years, 7 years, whatever you decide to do. Mm-hmm. But the major pro here is Fed's cutting rates. So you go into anything fully liquid and it's got a nice 5% rate attached to it, that's slowly going to come down as the Fed cuts the rates. You're locking into these MIGAs for these longer periods of time, so you're getting rid of the reinvestment risk that Matt just talked about.
I'll add one more con to that, which is also a pro. It depends how you think about it. So
okay.
With annuities, interest is tax deferred. So if you put $100,000 in and you're earning $5,000 a year, you're not paying taxes on that each year unless you take it out of the annuity. So as that 105 grows and compounds and your 100 grows to, we'll say, 125,000, you haven't paid any taxes on that. But when you do take it out, that's when you're going to owe a tax liability. So if you keep deferring that in an annuity or switch it to another annuity, which is called a 1035 exchange, you can keep that interest tax deferred. But eventually, that's the con here, is you're going to have to pay a larger tax bill if you cash it all out at once rather than interest each year.
And you can keep doing those 1035s? Is that what you're saying?
You keep doing it. So if you do a 3 or 5 year MIGA, you hit that term period, the 3 years is up, you can 1035 it right into another 3 year. Now, you're not going to get the same rate.
Right.
It's going to be a different vehicle, but you can defer those taxes.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Little tax tip, I suppose, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, along there. So what about, you know, the fixed income side of this?
Yeah, so we talked about how nobody wants bonds these days, but there's
right.
different classification of bonds. So you've got short-term, intermediate, and long-term at the basic level here. So longer-term bonds are going to be your riskiest bonds. Intermediate are going to be moderate risk, and short-term is going to be very, very, very low risk because the bonds are constantly maturing. And right now, you can get in that 5 to 5.5% range in a short-term bond fund. I'm not going to start naming a bunch of tickers that you can look at, but you can always look at what happened in 2020 or prior market corrections to see how they react. And generally, it's going to be a pretty muted reaction. So we use these a lot where it's just, hey, throw the money in there as an alternative to a money market or CD, clip your 5%, and it's kind of like an emergency fund. You can sell it and get the money within a couple days as the money settles, but it's nothing exciting, kind of similar to a money market.
All right, let me throw this other chart up here on the screen for folks. Matt, break this one down for us a little bit, guys. This peak fund funds rate chart.
Sure. So this chart here shows what the return of intermediate bonds, so we're talking that moderate risk bond. So no longer talking about short terms, how that looks after the Fed is done hiking interest rates. So what we want to encourage people to do is not abandon bonds. Now, not necessarily the picture perfect alternative to your bank money, because there is some risk here, but maybe you're willing to take that little extra risk for a little extra return here, because within intermediate bonds, we've already felt a lot of pain. And you can see the dots are about as high as the market, which means we can expect an 8, 9, 10% return out of fixed income potentially over the next few years as interest rates start coming down. So you're getting that yield that the bonds are paying along with the price appreciation. So you're effectively getting a similar level of return with much less risk. So that's where we talked about at the beginning of the show. Everyone wants to run away from bonds right now, which is when we're embracing them.
Nobody wants to talk about bonds right now. You bring up bonds and you just see it in their eyes like, oh, why are we talking about this? Let's talk about tech stocks. And this is the exact time we do not want to ignore this asset class. They've fallen out of favor. We completely understand. But we're looking forward. We're looking forward a year, a couple of years. And we feel really strongly that bonds are going to do well.
Well, isn't that kind of the Warren Buffett analogy there? The whole fearful thing, right? Be greedy when people are fearful, right? Because if we're thinking about the current hot thing, it's not going to be current hot for very long, right? It's always looking to the, you know, forward thinking, right? That's what you guys need to do as professionals when you're trying to design plans and help people, is like, it's not what's happening today. It's what's happening down the line, right?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, when we talk about incorporating bonds into the portfolio too, let me make this clear. We're talking about our clients. We're talking about retirees, people approaching retirement that need them in the portfolio to generate interest, to stabilize the portfolio. We're not talking about investors in their 20s or 30s. I don't own one bond, and I'm not going to own one for a very long time,
right?
Because I'm all about growth. I'm 100% equities, and I will be 100% equities for probably the next 20 years. But as you approach retirement, your goals change. You want to stabilize your portfolio. You don't want to take that kind of risk. Income becomes very important. How do we generate safe income? And bonds play a very, very big role in that.
Well, and I think that's a fair point, right? Because obviously age demographic plays a lot into it, but it is still easy for us, you know, okay, I'm in that demographic. I'm over 50, right? So I'm starting to think about that stuff, but it's like, it's easy to get sucked into the sexy stuff, right? Well, give me the tech stuff because that's doing well, versus I don't want to talk about the boring stuff, you know? So I get where you're coming from, but again, that's your guys' job to kind of help lead people that are getting closer to that, say, all right, we got to start looking at some of the stuff that, you know, it is not getting all the headlines, because we want to look for some of those safer avenues as well. So it makes a lot of sense. But it's easy to get sucked into the glamorous stuff for sure. I mean, that's why crypto always gets people's attention, right? Because it's got the glamour side to it or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that and tech stocks too. We have a lot of clients. We put out what we call a roadmap, which color codes pretty much all the accounts. And I have multiple clients that draw a line right down the middle and write fun stuff and then boring stuff on the other side.
There you go. Exactly. All right. Hit me with Box. What is BOXX?
So yeah, this is a neat little ETF that's available. So not necessarily an endorsement or recommendation of it, but what it does is it takes the interest that bonds are paying and it uses options inside of it to generate a similar level of return to short-term fixed income. So around that 5% range, but it accrues to the share price instead of kicking out income to you. So we have a lot of clients who are in a unique situation where they have an excess amount of bank money. We're talking 2, 3, 4, sometimes 500,000. You know who you are. and it's one of the pet peeves of us where it's like, you don't need that much in the bank, but it's a peace of mind thing at that point. But what I can guarantee those clients will tell you is that is an annoying thing for tax purposes at the moment, because that's yielding 5% right into their bank account as income. So that 1099 is larger and larger. Now you can't complain too much because you're making money. So, but it's an interesting way to take that as that income as ordinary income, get it off your tax return and convert it into long-term gains, assuming you hold it for over a year and eventually sell that ETF. So it's a neat little strategy, carries a little bit more risk just because of the options inside of it than your typical short-term bond, but could be an interesting tax play in some cases.
And to add to that, it's great for those you know, people that are a couple years away from retirement and are higher income earners. So making a considerable amount of money, hey, I don't want to add any type of bond interest to what I'm already making. How do we kick this out? And we can look at using Box to take advantage of that and kick it out a few years.
Okay. And of course, that's another option. Again, we're talking about some different safe money options here. So we talked a little bit about MIGAs, talked about some fixed income, this Box, BOXX. And of course, to Matt's point, if you know who you are and you've got all this extra money sitting there and you need to leave some to your favorite podcast host or something, I'm just saying I'm available, you know, if you want to kick some my way. No. All right. So what about another one here? Safe money options, FIAs.
All right. So yeah, FIAs, that stands for fixed indexed annuities. So we talked about multi-year guaranteed annuities earlier. This is in that same world. So an FIA is going to lock out the losses. So there's no going backwards. So it's going to be similar to your bank account and that you're not going to lose money. You have that same time commitment. So it could be 7 years, 10 years. Typically FIAs are going to be a little bit longer than your MIGA time period. But you have a little bit of additional upside because it's going to link to the market. So what we'll do is we'll throw this chart up and do a quick run through here.
Links to the market, but you also don't have that guaranteed return. So with the MIGAs that we talked about earlier in the show, you're locking in, let's just say, a 5% return. You know, market does 10, you're going to do 5. Market does negative 10, you're going to do 5, and you're going to move forward. With these FIAs, you're linked to an index, and that index could do 0 for a couple of years. So you might get goose eggs for 2 years. So just be ready for something like that, but you cannot lose money in that.
So it's tied to an indice, whatever indice that is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So a lot of them are linked to the S&P 500. So you can see on this chart, the FIA with a 10% cap would be the green line. So the S&P 500, generally it's going to be the price. So we're going to strip out the dividends here. And if the market goes up 15%, you get capped out at 10. If the market does 5%, you get a 5% return. If the market does negative 20, you get a 0. So you can see how it benchmarks to the market, which we would say this is going to be a more appropriate benchmark to bonds because it's normally not going to beat the market. This is kind of showing you a 2-recession time period and a 10% cap. So not necessarily a realistic time frame because really over the last decade, a 10% cap is abnormally high, which is what we're seeing right now. So it's a pretty good time to get into one of these annuities. I like to say it's opposite of a mortgage. When do you want to get a mortgage? When rates are near zero. When's a great time to get into an FIA? Well, when rates are higher, because you're going to get these higher crediting rates.
Yeah, it's a great bond alternative. With fixed income, we're extremely bullish on it, but we can't guarantee that it's not going to go down in value. So you could lose money. So for our clients that go, I don't want to lose a dime. I don't care if I get zeros, that's fine. I just don't want to see any red numbers. These are great options as a bond alternative.
Well, and again, that's the point too, right, of having the strategy and the conversation and going through this stuff is because it's like finding out what each person's tolerance is for whatever their situation is. Because everybody's going to be a little bit different, right? So that's why you got multiple kinds of tools out there to find the right, to build the right plan based on what they're looking for. So again, this could be an option for some people. What's our next one here, guys? What's this next chart we're going to throw up?
So this next one is a private credit strategy. We've been using this company, Variant Alternative Income, and it is a private credit, meaning that they're going to do niche investments, so lending that normal banks are not willing to do. So they call that specialty finance, litigation finance, financing lawsuits, that kind of stuff. All the way down to oil and gas royalties, music royalties. So things that just don't correlate with the traditional world. So we've been using this strategy for 4 or 5 years now. It's been a nice complement to fixed income. But the one thing is it's for accredited investors only. So you have to have that $1 million net worth. And it's a really neat strategy because it just kind of chugs and does its own thing. It does in that 6 to 8% is the return target. So a little bit more than your money market, CDs, your fixed income right now. But it's just a really nice complement. You're always looking for alternatives in your portfolio that aren't doing what the traditional markets doing.
Extremely consistent manager. I mean, I feel like they just continuously do 6-7% every year. And this was a great option a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, when we were worried about rate risk. That was a major concern of ours. Not as much so now. I think Variant's going to continue to do really well. I think they'll just kind of plug along doing their 6-7%. But I am pivoting a little bit from these accounts. I use this for some higher net worth clients back into fixed income, traditional fixed income, incorporating that back in because, again, we do feel strongly that that's going to do well.
So I imagine something like this, does this carry more risk, I suppose, because it's just a little bit more niche, or how does that work?
Not really. So it gets rid of that interest rate risk, which is nice. And there are definitely risks associated with it. But I mean, the COVID years, for example, this is considered an interval fund, so it's not as liquid. So that is definitely a risk. It's got that liquidity risk, but there's also not that flight to cash in it where everyone can just go and sell it in March of 2020 and cause the share price to go down. But this is just one example of private credit, and there are tons of them popping up over the last year or two. We get emails from wholesalers left and right saying, hey, we've got this new private credit strategy, do you want to check it out? So Variant is just one example. I didn't want to say this is an endorsement of them by any means. There's dozens of them out there.
As always, right, we're just talking about different things that are out there. Of course, it comes back to having a sound strategy based on your needs. So it's not just like grabbing one thing you hear on any podcast or any short or any Instagram reel or any of that other stuff we talked about over the last couple of weeks. You don't just jump into something because you hear somebody say it's the next great thing. You always want to make sure you're doing your research. As a musician, though, it was interesting when I heard, you know, music royalties and stuff like that. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, music royalties are not going to correlate to interest rates. When Jerome Powell hikes rates, you're not getting paid less when you play your Elvis song or whoever it is.
Right. Very interesting. So yeah, some lot of cool stuff out there. All right, guys. Well, I think that's about it that we had on our list for different options out there. Anything we want to use to wrap up here when we're talking about safe money options? Just again, making sure that you're, you know, weighing all the options. I guess that's where we want to kind of end that at.
Weighing all the options and not over allocating to the emergency fund. A lot of times it's that safety blanket there, but you don't want to have 24, 36, 48 months of it earning nothing, because if you think about it, you're earning 5% now, but we know over the last 3 years you're still lost to inflation, even earning this nice rate. So it's important to just make sure it's part of a plan.
And there is no perfect investment out there. That's why we're talking about all these different options. Usually it comes down to a blend of all these different options. I know in that FIA world, I mean, some of these wholesalers and their pitches when it comes to fixed index annuities, that is this and this and this. You don't even need anything else. And it's like, absolutely not. Not a great chance. Point. We're not putting 100% of the portfolio in a fixed index annuity. That is the last thing you want to do. Again, like Matt talked about earlier in the show, it's great as a bond alternative if you don't want any risk. But don't ever compare it to growth stocks. You're never going to see that type of growth. But in the end, really, it comes down to a blend of everything to hit your specific goals.
That's a great point. Yeah, exactly. So we'll wrap it up right there. So thanks for hanging out with us on the podcast. As always, Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul from RW Paul & Associates. Find them online at rwpaul.com. Thanks for checking out the podcast. We always appreciate it. Don't forget to check us out on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. And of course, we'll see you next time right here on Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul.
Retirement Approved is brought to you by Richard W. Paul & Associates, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Throughout the presentation, we may generally discuss different financial vehicles. However, nothing we say should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle, nor should it be used to make decisions today about your investments or insurance. For full disclosures, check the show notes of today's episode.